Hey guys, I'm Liz.
I'm Joe, and we're here from Behind the Science Podcast. Thank you so much for joining us today. So we have a really important topic to discuss today. It's design, which, you know, here, want to say something really corny?
No, but you're going to.
There ain't no sign without design.
Oh my God, delete that. No, cut.
No, that's true though. But anyway, well, welcome everyone to today's episode of Behind the Science Podcast. Again, I am Joe, here with my favorite sign person on the planet.
Yep, that's me, still Liz.
Yep, my daughter Liz. Anyway, today's topic is about design, so we're going to banter back and forth a little bit. We get a lot of questions in the group about design. How much should I charge for design? Should I charge for design? I know there's a lot of old school folks out there that still don't believe that charging for design is a thing, so we'll kind of get they're wrong. That's true. I was one of those people, but now I'm an evangelist in the opposite direction, only because it makes me cry when I think about all the money I left on the table, but that's another topic. But before we get started, let's take a minute or two to thank our sponsors.
Yeah.
We'll start with Inktavo. Thank you, Inktavo. So Inktavo, for those of you who don't know, is Joe's day job. So Sign Tracker is now part of the Inktavo family of products. So if you get a chance to go to inktavo.com, you can check out all the different products that they have, and or go to sign-tracker.com and you can try Sign Tracker for free. It's project management. And since we're talking about art and design today, great file management tool within Sign Tracker inside your jobs, and you can organize all your files, which is really great. There's another product too, since we're talking about design today, that you should definitely check out, and that is Graphics Flow. And I just found out that Inktavo is offering a huge bundle special between Sign Tracker and Graphics Flow. So anyway, go over to sign-tracker.com, try it free, or go to inktavo.com and you can get links to all the products there.
We'd also like to thank our friends at Sign Builder Illustrated. They are a huge fan of the pod, and they also have us in a column every
month.
Month? What's that called?
Month?
No.
The column?
Nah.
Magazine?
Edition. Every edition. Episode is what I was going to say. It's Thursday. It's been a long week. Be sure to check out our column in Sign Builder Illustrated Magazine.
Every month. Some helpful tips, and usually it's around the topic that we're talking about. So their design issue, actually, I think we're kind of behind the issues right now.
A little behind.
Yeah, but the design issue just came out, and they had their big design contest. And of course, we talked about what we're talking about today in the article as well. So
yeah.
Then we're also planning on having a guest around the topic of design and charging for design and the value of design. So that'll be coming soon.
Stay tuned.
Yes.
All right. Without further ado.
All right, let's get started. So we're talking about design. You got to understand that it all starts with design. So we're going to talk today about the value of design, because look, I'll be the first to admit, I made a huge mistake in my thinking about design. And for the first 10 years I was in the business, longer, I just didn't feel like sign shops should charge for design. And I didn't. And so we're going to talk through why that's such a huge problem right now.
So I think that traditionally, sign companies didn't charge for design. Mm-hmm. Or if they did, they buried it in the fabrication installation cost. But I've said it once on this podcast. I'll say it again. I've probably said it more than once, actually. But in the sign industry, what you're really selling is a design solution. And before you can sell the physical sign product, you have to sell the solution. Mm-hmm. But for the solution to be effective, you know, and not just give me the biggest logo, which does happen, you know, gas stations are there for everybody. But in order to sell an effective sign solution, you need to use design thinking. And design thinking, you know, it's a completely different mindset, and it takes a lot of training, but it's part of what designers go through in their education, is they learn how to approach a problem in order to find a solution. And in order to find really the problem that you're trying to solve. And In order to do that, you have to look at it from a user or patron perspective. You have to be able to define the problems you've observed and then ideate how you will solve them. Mm-hmm. Right. And that's not just taking make it bigger.
Yeah, no.
Make it bigger doesn't always work, right? A lot of times it actually makes it worse. So to do all of that, though, it takes time and it takes expertise. And I think that if there's one thing all of us can agree on, not just in this room, but in that room, time is money.
Yes,
for sure. And like, that's all you have to sell, right? All you have to give is your time. And if you can't charge for that or you're giving it away for free, then yeah, you are leaving money. You're leaving money on the table, but you're also just not putting value in what is the basis of your sign company.
Yeah. Well, I think there's a couple things. First of all, if you're listening to this episode today, and let's look at the different types of sign shops, right? So you have, let's start with the biggies, right? You're a fabricator, you mm-hmm. make channel letters, pylon signs, you do, you know, monument signs, require mm-hmm. engineering, all the stuff. And you know, like at our shop, for example, what we did, And if you think about fabrication and all the things that you just said, as far as the, you know, understanding the problem and approaching it, you know, with, I guess, you know, all the training and all that stuff that a designer would have, you are solving big problems, right? So if you're mm-hmm. a sign shop that fabricates electric signs, again, we'll say pylon signs, channel letters, monument signs, those, you know, traditional electric signs, The things that go into a design, like for us, what we would do is we would go out and do a survey of a site.
For free?
Well, generally we would, yeah, sadly. Okay. I mean, we would charge for it when we did the bid, but then if we didn't get the bid, it was lost, right? So Generally you have to go out and do a survey and really technically see how the sign is going to work in the field. So then you have to take all that information back to a designer who has to apply all that information and knowledge to the creative process, right? So whether you're doing elevations or designing the sign from scratch, or even if you're taking a client's logo and understanding what colors work against the wall types and all on the wall colors, all the stuff that goes into that. It's a huge part of the project. And then for us, what we would do is we would bury a small percentage as a line item for a design fee. And then we would line item the survey. Generally, if a sign required engineering, same. And then we would give the bid and the layouts to the customer. And then oftentimes the customer would come back and say, hey, can you make this change, make this adjustment? And we did all that with no guarantee that we were ever going to sign a contract. And I look back at that now and think, man, that was a bad way to do business. Mm. And look, I mean, we had a fantastic relationships with our clients. 9 times out of 10, we did get the deal. But even getting the deal, understanding a lot more now about the design process, we way undercharged, even though it was a line item in the project. Maybe for a channel letter set, if we built a couple $100 in as a line item, that's probably still a little too light for that. And we did charge for the survey as a line item too. Mm-hmm. But, you know, at the end of the day, we left a lot of money on the table. And I think there's a whole different way to approach it.
Yeah. And I'm going to tell you a couple reasons why you left money on the table, or how, rather, not why. I kind of understand why, but because it just was industry standard.
Yeah.
But how? And the first is, when you don't have a contract for design, you're allowing the customer or end user to make endless edits.
Yeah.
They can just go back and forth for as long as they want because they're not paying anybody. They don't see the value in what you're doing. So even if you do get the project, you could be 10 rounds in, and that's light.
Can I ask you a question? Because this is really important and you don't have to.
Is it going to be about a tuna burp?
No more tuna burps. I'm done with my kombucha.
Okay.
What does a design contract look like?
Sure. And I do want to get into that. And we are going to. And I'll at least tell you, like, you know, how I think that's
like, well,
that's
how does it limit the process for the customer?
Absolutely.
Okay.
We're going to put a pin in that. Super important. And we are going to get to that in this episode before, but I think that that's a whole subject. So I want to kind of get into, or continue why I think it's important that you have it.
So how you're losing revenue, and
one is you're spending a lot of time spinning your wheels really, because you're going back and forth and allowing endless rounds of review, endless revisions, because there's no contract lining that out.
Yeah.
And also, again, the customer doesn't know or doesn't value the design because you don't. Like, you're not showing that there's value to it. Mm-hmm. They don't know what they're paying for it. So they're just going to keep going. And then the other side of that is, so design thinking allows you to solve problems, right? When you are letting your customer lead your design revisions and your sales team lead your design revisions, and you're getting these endless revisions, it's because you have, you don't have the designer there. Because again, they're not an income generating department yet, right. Then you don't allow the designer to be there to tell them why something's designed the way they did. Like, when we present a solution, we never just what we call throw it over the fence. Like, that you don't email a design to a customer and not have a meeting with them to present it. And the reason is that gets you into the I like it versus I don't like it. Mm-hmm. And design isn't always about just what you like. In fact, a lot of times, you know, if the customer likes something, like, you take it into account. But if you're telling them, hey, these are the problems that we observed, this is why this design solution solves those problems, then it tells them we've listed their problems, we've showed them how it's solved. It's really hard for them to come back and say, I don't like it. Because what is like,
especially if they've been involved in the whole process.
Right.
Do you actually, and we'll probably talk more about this when we talk about the contract part of it, I guess. Mm-hmm. Do you actually physically get your clients to sign off on the artwork when it's done, or the production artwork?
92% of the time. Yes.
92?
I'm going with 92. It might be in the 80s. We try to. And if we don't, it's because it's like a rinse and repeat, more of a code change than it is anything else.
Okay.
Where we really focus on that when you're getting into sign packages with hundreds and hundreds of ADA signs, mm-hmm. and stuff. So we're having them sign message schedules and design packages, mm-hmm. at that point.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah. The biggest part of this is if you're not charging for design, you're leaving a lot of money, potentially, not always, but potentially you're leaving a lot of money on the table, mm-hmm. right? And I think that a lot of people, if you shift your mindset into thinking, if I go to the doctor's office, I don't ask for things, I guess you get samples, but you don't ask for things for free, right? Or really any other, you don't go to the barber and say, hey, can you cut my hair this time? And if I like it, I'll pay you. Like, that's not how I'll pay you next time. Mm-hmm. Like, that's not how it works. There's no other skilled trade industry that gives away their work for free.
Right.
And it's becoming not standard, but for a long time, especially when you owned a sign company, it was the standard in this industry.
It is definitely changing, which is, mm-hmm. a good thing. So I guess the other side of, since we were talking about fabrication shops, right? And you guys do your work, ends up being a lot of custom fabrication, almost, mm-hmm. everything you do. Mm-hmm. So then let's talk about the shops that don't do,
custom,
you
know,
big design, yeah. projects, right? So they do t-shirts, banners, yard signs, sure. which is a lot of sign shops.
Absolutely.
Promotional products. So how do you deal with design there? I think you're approaching it completely different, right? It still needs to be design fees. And I think, you know, it depends on how your shop is set up. So a lot of shops these days are going with online design tools where customers can sort of upload their own photos and put their own text in. And those aren't bad. Like, if you're a smaller sign shop and you can find the tools like GraphicsFlow that I talked about in the beginning from our sponsor is a really good one like that. It allows customers to design their own banners, their own, mm-hmm. yard signs. They can sign off on the proof. But even with that, there's fees to maintaining your platform, mm-hmm. so that there has to be some design fee built into those projects. Mm-hmm. And like we were talking about earlier, there's still going to need to be production files that, mm-hmm. are cleaned up. And so you're going to have some kind of design schedule fee schedule for even those types of projects. So let's talk about figuring out what to charge for design, right? Because I would say, like, on the big projects, we were having this discussion before we get started, you know, should we tell?
I don't think we should give a number, because I think it is really dependent on every person's fee structure that's currently
in place. Well, it's also based on salary for designers, based on location. Yeah. I did a little ChatGPT to kind of try to find ranges for salary.
Lord so help us.
I'm going to let you do that yourself. I guess it really depends, like if you're in Los Angeles or New York City.
Also, ISA does the big survey. They just finished it for this year. They're going to be coming out with it. If you guys don't read the big survey, I think it's ISA that does that.
Yep.
And they come out with it every year, and that tells you, like, average salaries of designers, average salaries of fabricators.
Project managers. Yeah, that's really good.
Yeah, it's a really good tool specific to our industry.
Should we do like a little, this is a little but I think commercial. If you're not part of ISA, that would
join
be
ISA.
International Sign Association, signs.org.
Yes.
Huge amounts of information and education opportunities there. That's all I'm going to say about that.
So much. Also, you can usually gain access to it by becoming a member of your local sign association.
Yes. So if you're a sign shop, not if you're a wholesaler or a supplier, no.
No,
but if you are a sign shop, just join, like, for us, Texas Sign Association, Mid-South Sign Association, California Sign Association, blah, blah, blah. If you go to signs.org, you can see all the your local list, and regional associations. Yeah. So if you join your local association.
So beneficial.
And then you get to automatically be a member of ISA.
And come see us at the expo.
Yes. Come see us at the expo for sure.
Coming year, it's in Orlando, the happiest place on earth.
But I guess it depends. You know, I would like to think, just to give you an idea of larger projects, if you have a $100,000 pylon sign, should the design fee for that, the base design fee, be around 10%? And I would say that's, it could be a little less, could be a little bit
more. It's not a bad starting point.
But it's not a bad starting point.
And I think to dive into that, like, first I want to kind of dive into the banner t-shirt kind of solution where you're spending money on the system that the manages that. Well, I think that's almost easier in a way, right? Because you have clients that are uploading their own artwork that you have to fix. We all know it.
You do, but it's more on the production side.
It's a little bit more production level artwork. It's not always. There is some, but it's not, when they're uploading their own designs, it's not always creative, net new creative is what we would call that.
Yeah.
But there is production, and that is still skilled labor. Don't undervalue that. But I think that, you know, in a lot of those systems, don't they usually, like, how I've seen it is, like, if I was wholesaling some business cards, we would upload our print ready artwork, and then we have to pay for the cards before we get approved.
Right.
So that fee's already in there. And I personally believe in transparency, so it should be line itemed out. Mm-hmm. But I think that for banners and t-shirts, getting that up front, you know, when they place the order, is before you touch that artwork. That's how I would see it.
Oh, before you clean it up and do production?
Oh, before you do anything, absolutely. Get them to pay for it. So yeah. I think that's a little easier. To go back to your initial question, that will now tie into the how much should you charge? What should a contract look like? If you're a fabrication shop, you know, I think that fees are different for everybody. So you have to look again at your area, your other skilled labor in your shop. And I say skilled, like highly skilled, when, you know,
installers,
what do you charge for that for hourly rates?
Right.
It should be pretty similar.
Lead fabricators.
Yeah.
That kind of thing.
If you don't feel comfortable starting there, you can start lower, and there's other ways to track that. But let's start by saying how we would, you know, develop a contract.
Right.
For us, we develop a contract first that is for design only. That outlines the hours. You know, we've been doing this long enough that we know how many hours a certain type of project will take us. By outlining the hours it'll take us and outlining the number of rounds of review we allow before going into hourly additional rates.
Okay, so when you first give a contract to a customer, you have an estimate of the amount of hours. So say it's a $100,000 project, and I'm just saying, we'll use that 10% amount. So you give them a contract for 10 grand, and that includes how many?
We are super transparent, and not everyone likes to operate that way. And I understand that. We actually outline it and tell people the number of hours that that project's going to take us in design. If it takes us longer, and it has, there are times where we've underestimated, but it's our fault. As in, they weren't coming to us with massive rounds of review.
So the base, the base design.
The base design with and the number of reviews that we allow.
Okay.
Right. So in that contract, we say, this is how many hours. And for those hours, you're going to get whatever design with however many options we outline. And that is not me not telling you. It's more me saying it's very dependent on the project.
Is it typical like three or is it just really?
It's super dependent on the project.
Okay.
I would not go above three personally.
Yeah.
I think that that's a good amount of back and forth or good amount of options that by doing more than that, I think you're starting.
You're overloading the customer.
It's too much.
Yeah.
It's too many to decide from. That's paralysis by analysis, which is a whole other topic, but that is a version of it. Anyway.
It's like I can only have so many flavors of sparkling water in my fridge. I just get overloaded.
And then you just sit there and look at them. 100% Yes. Yeah. So, you know, we outline that with the number of hours it'll take for our initial and rounds of revision.
Okay.
Saying if we say we limit the rounds of revision to two rounds of revision and feedback, that's all allotted for in those initial hours, which we outline. Let's say it's 50 hours, right? Just for round numbers. We show them what our hourly rate is.
Okay.
We also have our hourly rate for project management that is strictly dedicated to the design process.
Okay.
And that's important for things like code checks, research.
Yeah.
And also construction document, getting back and forth with construction document.
Yep.
All that stuff takes time and you need someone to do it.
Yep.
And so we also charge for that. We show them the amount of hours. They see the hourly rate. The total in the top shows those added together. Like and it's very clear.
Sometimes engineering, especially if.
Okay, so that's the other thing I wanted to mention. In that contract, because we have it, it also allows you to charge for things like surveys. If you don't have construction documents and you need to do a physical survey, we have a line item for that. Or engineering, if we know we're going to be doing a big monument or a pole sign, and in order to get really accurate quotes, we're just going to go ahead and get it engineered in the design process rather than the fabrication process. Mm-hmm. Now, then we line item that in there too. I want to reiterate that that's a separate contract. Once we're done with that contract, no one's obligated to use us for fabrication and installation.
But if you don't get the deal, you made your money.
We've already made our money. And we made the money for the hours that we've put in.
Which you deserve.
So if someone walks away from the table, I mean, it hurts. It doesn't hurt as much as it would have. You know. So I think that that's kind of how... That's an easy first way to structure it. If you don't know the amount of hours, and I'm sorry, I feel like this episode is a lot of me talking, but it's literally what I do all day, every day. But if you don't know the number of hours, because I know that that takes time to learn.
Right.
There is a tool that you can use. We used Clockify. If you haven't heard of it, Google it. It's a plugin you can put onto your... we use Chrome. Hopefully you do too. I'm a big proponent for, they are not a sponsor, but use Google. Anyway, we use Clockify. It's an extension on Chrome, although I think you can get it on other browsers as well. It works seamlessly with your email and then also as a desktop extension. So you can have your designers, you know, in whatever program they're designing in, you can just have them click start clock and they can you can like program in all your job numbers. You can start clock, stop clock when they're done. It's an easy way to start tracking how long certain projects take. And also at the end of those projects, it's a great tool to have to see how long did this project actually take? What were the reasons? If it took longer than you estimated, what are the reasons it took longer than you estimated? Mm-hmm. Was it us? Was it the partner? Was it the client? All of these things, or was it sales? Like, who came in and made this worse than what we thought?
Right.
Or was it just us underestimating and not knowing? Mm-hmm. Right. So you can do a starting point where it's just like a blanket percentage to start of what you estimate the project value will be. And then as you get more into it, or maybe you're just already tracking that and you already know, then you can charge, you know, your estimated hours for that project.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So let's talk about the role of designers a little bit, because I think, you know, you guys have, and your business have really elevated the role of design. You have very talented designers. They have an education in the field of design. And so they're professionals, right? And I think about the designers that we had at our shop, and they were also professionals. They were trained designers. They had, you know, educations in design. But because we didn't...
They were cartoonists, published cartoonists.
Yeah, one of them was, yeah, for sure. Oh, two of them. Mm-hmm. I guess I should first say, if any of my old designers ever watch this podcast, I'm so sorry I didn't value your role in the business nearly as much as I should have. I definitely valued your contribution to the company and you as human beings. Thank you, thank you. But I think I definitely devalued their professionalism, mm-hmm. you know, and because we didn't charge for design and because we didn't structure it as we've been talking about. And I think it kind of set this precedence in the company too, like, because the designers were just a basic tool to get a sale done or to, you know, to close a deal or whatever, that, you know, they tended to get kind of abused, and we had a little bit of a higher turnover in that department than we probably needed to because of that. Mm-hmm. And there were times when attitudes weren't the greatest. And now, you know, and I look at that and I say, man, it really wasn't the designer.
What part did you play?
A huge part. I mean, one thing, look, we did, towards the end, we were learning these lessons, right? And we were charging more for design, but it still wasn't this transparency thing like we're talking about here, or a contract ahead of time. But we did start really structuring the design department. So things like, you know, because when you think about, right, there's change orders that have to be done with design, or changes that have to be done. There's production files that have to be created. And then there's the creative process and the overall project. Mm-hmm. And so what we started doing, and this is just something for you guys to think about, but we started doing where the first 2 hours of every day, the designers, it was like an open door policy. The designers could call a sales rep in, or an owner in, or a project manager in, and talk about something that needed to be changed. Production files were created, quick changes, color change, size change, whatever adjustments, so a sale could get done. But then after the first few hours of the morning, bam, design department was closed for business. And it was all, they might still have had to work on some of those things, but it was not an open door policy. And they would work, and then that was their quiet, more focused, creative time. And so that did help them feel really valued and their role was important. I mean, we still didn't have the, you know, contracts and weren't charging appropriately, that's for sure. But that did help a lot. So that's just a tip that we did.
Yeah, I think that's a really smart way to structure it. Because a lot of times, I mean, like, I'm an accountant by education. When I get into reconciliations or even a spreadsheet, you know, you're in the zone. Mm-hmm. Like, you're in a flow state. As hippie as it sounds, man, you're in a flow state. And like, when I'm working on something and someone asks me a question and I turn back to look at what I was doing,
it's like, why did I come into the pantry?
To save my life, I couldn't tell you. Like, I have to start over in a lot of ways. And it wastes a lot of time. And when you're in
I feel like I live my entire life like that. Like, why?
That's called ADD.
Why am I here?
Thanks
right now?
For it, by the way. I think that's genetic. But that's super smart, because it limits like the amount of time people can interrupt. Mm-hmm. Calendar blocking, which is kind of similar, as in each designer, it's not a set time, but they can set time on their calendar that says heads down. Mm-hmm. And that means unless the world is on fire, which is probably not a great example, unless their house is on fire, then you don't need to talk to them right now.
Yeah.
It has to be an emergency.
Yeah.
Or you do things like, I'll send you an email instead of an IM and I'm not going to call you. You know?
We did. Well, we didn't work remote, so we were all in the same building. So the only way a real emergency could happen, and it had to be because we were about ready to close a massive deal and we just needed one small tweak or something.
Yeah.
The owner had to walk it in.
Yeah. So, see, that's smart. I like that. And that probably did help them feel like, hey, they understand
The importance of it.
What I need. Yeah. And the importance of what I'm doing.
So,
I like that. We have, you know, you can, that's super smart. Super smart way to structure it, especially if you don't have multiple designers.
Yeah.
We have a production designer that, like, for us, when we're needing changes, like quick changes like that, it's usually what we're
size, color, or that.
Yeah. Sort of, we're usually at production level, not really even size or color. It's more like, this file, can you check this proof? Can you do that? You know, okay. These little things, check the braille on, you know, stuff like that. Or permit changes, because, which I guess would be size and color, or at least color temperature for lighting. But yeah, those kinds of things usually run through our production level designers, who are in less of a flow state. Not that they never are, but are, it's a little easier to kind of throw those things at them. But if I have to interrupt a designer, I do have to, knowingly ask them, what's on your plate right now? Mm-hmm. If it's a quick change, you know,
right.
What's on your plate right now? They tell me, and I have to make a cognizant decision of what this is more important than, which is kind of an interesting way to do it. Like, okay, what am I telling you to not do in order to do this? It's just a moment of like, oh yeah, you are doing things.
Yeah.
You're not just drawing pretty pictures.
Well, so. And I think lastly, you know, to kind of bring this to a close, I think it's important to understand too, that clients ultimately will appreciate the transparency.
I agree. I'm a big proponent.
And look, you might be thinking, oh man, you know, how am I going to ask a client? You know, I've been working with this client for years. How am I going to start charging them?
You know about
that. I do. How are you going to start charging them for design?
Yeah.
You know, but you'd be surprised. I mean, if they really respect your work and value the relationship they have with you, they will be happy to pay for design, especially also, if they understand that it's, you know, the fabrication and installation quote's going to be separate and the design's already be prepaid for.
I think that it helps in a few ways. Yes. Transparency. If you set boundaries,
you kind of weed out the clients that kind of suck anyway.
But also, people usually abide by, people are cool with it.
Yeah.
It's like it's a boundary. Like, this is what we do. This is who we are. We've weeded out clients that didn't want to pay for it. I got huge guilt trips. Funny story. Had a client from barbering another lifetime. When I was cutting hair still, every once in a while, we had a client that wanted to work with us that owned like a franchise. And so I gave him our information and he came to us and we gave him the design contract and
my other sign shop doesn't charge me for design.
Absolutely. He was like, you can't just do this for me. And I was like, I mean, I wouldn't cut your hair for free. Why would I do this? Like,
wouldn't cut my hair for free?
Yeah. Like, would you give me one of your products for free so I can try it? Like, that's just, and he didn't like that I said that. Needless to say, I don't think I cut his hair after that either, which was fine. But like, I definitely weeded out someone I didn't want in my life.
Well, it's hard. It's a hard conversation. Yeah. If you've been doing it one way for a long time to transition, you don't have to do it, you know, overnight, but I would slowly but surely start doing it.
Conversation one time.
Yeah. And especially with new clients. And look, maybe you are going to have some people that knock on your door and say, well, you know, Joe's sign shop down the street doesn't charge. Sign shops don't charge for design. Well, okay. Ours does.
They
start with design. And so if you want to go, believe me, you're being charged for design. Go down the street and look at that.
That's kind of how we approach it too. Oh no, you're being charged for design. You just might not be told that you're being charged for design.
Right.
But you are.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no such thing as a free lunch. We all have heard that.
And look, honestly, if you're charging a fair price for design with people that really appreciate your work, that's a revenue stream that's going to allow you to not necessarily have to take so much work, right? And weed out the ones you don't want. But then also, if it's a profit center and you're meeting your budget and you have enough for payroll, maybe you do a little less work. It's a little less stressful. And so I would say—
Or you're able to hire another employee because you have more income.
Exactly.
And that employee doesn't necessarily have to be in the design department, right? You can spread that profit out throughout the business.
So I'm going to say one last thing as we bring this to a close. But and I'm sure most of you are so ethical and you absolutely don't do this, but— Don't bid projects off other sign shops' designs.
Oh.
Don't do it.
Don't do it. Call them.
If it's a situation like they paid for that design work.
Yeah.
then fine. That's, they own the design work. But a lot of times, especially, and this is what perpetuates the problem. You have sign shops that'll design a channel letter sign or a banner or whatever. And then the customer decides, A, they didn't pay for the design. So they don't feel, they don't value you. And so they just say, well, I know I can probably get this done cheaper. I know I can save $200 or $500. And they'll take that design and shop it around. That was a big thing back in like the
2010s. It's still a thing.
Is it?
Oh, 100%. So when we get a design that is designed by another sign company, we call the other sign company and just ask, did they pay for this design? If they say, yep, that's theirs, they paid for it, then we'll bid on it if we feel we're a good fit. But if that company says no, we say, okay, well, just so you know, they're sending it out for bid. You might want to have a conversation with them. And then we call that client and say, we don't bid on design work that you don't own. And that's it. Yeah. That's the end of the conversation. Do we lose the project? Maybe.
Probably.
But also, are they a project we wanted?
Are they a customer you want?
No, like they obviously don't value what we do.
Right.
But also, the reason that you do that is because this is how we change the industry.
Yeah.
This is how we make it the industry standard.
Elevating the sign industry together.
That's right. Oh, you're leaving me hanging.
Yes.
Fine. We don't have to high five.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Was I supposed to? You lost it now.
One more time.
Nope.
Up high.
It's over.
Down low.
It's over.
In the middle.
Forget it. Have a great day. Thanks so much for tuning in.
We love you guys at Behind the Signs. Charge for designs and enjoy what you do. And we will see you on the next episode.
Yeah, I really thought you were going to keep rhyming. Have a great day.
Bye.